Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 10th of December, recording at 9:15 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights, very quickly. Asian stock markets a bit mixed, China steadier. And European markets show modest gains. Best one that I can see on the screen is OMX, that's Sweden, up 1%. Wall Street closed out not that far off the highs of the day, and that's quite interesting because in the pre-market trading, that's before Wall Street opened, of course, and in the early hours of European trading, the futures contracts were quite weak, so it was a big turnaround overall. But Wall Street's gains 0.75 or 0.75% for here for the Dow and the S&P, less than that for the Nasdaq, which is not leading at the moment, although it held up better during the recent correction. That suggests short covering is certainly a factor behind the rally. And in government bonds, we saw a little bit more selling here today, particularly in Europe. And the US dollar has slipped again. I think this is sort of the third day in a row where we've seen modest declines by the dollar, at least in terms of the US dollar index. And we've got the euro back up at 147.14 as I speak. Gold is firmer today. It's up one day and down the next, as you've seen. The bulls, myself included, will hope that it breaks that up one day and down the next. It will get an interesting signal, certainly, tomorrow following the Fed rate cut. But gold is currently at 809.28, up 14.47. Industrial metals, again, they were firm mostly on Friday and mostly weaker today. Particularly tin down $1,100, although it didn't give up all of Friday's big gains, but gave up a lot of it. And crude oil it's been all over the place here today. Currently at $88, that's down a little bit. And the grains and beans, fractionally stronger. And it looks like sugar and coffee have been a bit firmer as well. Okay, so what's going on here overall as far as the stock markets are concerned? Well, I mentioned short covering where there were shorts in the marketplace. And we know that those have been fairly substantial in the financial stocks and in some of the house builders, some of the property shares, all have tended to rebound quite strongly. I suspect that's probably more on short covering than on investment buying, but inevitably there would be some investment buying there, at least if the comments that we hear from some investment sources are to be believed, and I do believe them. And we have also seen some quite sharp rebounds by the Dow and the S&P, and here also I think there have been some fairly hefty short positions in the market. Now, it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow, because the rate cut has certainly been discounted. But what we can say is that investors' nerves have seen a considerable recovery in the last 2 to 3 weeks after the battering that they had seen throughout most of November. So that's encouraging. It would be premature to say that we've had a full-fledged return of investors' animal spirits, but again, sentiment is improving, and that is reflected across a number of the asset plays that are very actively traded. And it's also reflected by the fact that bond markets have weakened because they tend to take their cue from equities for the most part, and that's certainly been the case recently. So we had the flight into government bonds as stock markets have improved their performance overall. We've seen some selling coming into the bond market as people grab profits and maybe pull some money back towards equities. My own view is that the environment is quite favorable, although I don't doubt that we'll see a bit of choppy action yet. But it's favorable because people see the Federal Reserve doing something, and Wall Street and the US economy have been the focal point of most concerns about the global economy. So the fact that we're in a rate cutting cycle and people are expecting further rate cuts, and probably rightly so, and the fact that most other governments have stopped increasing rates and there are talks of rate cuts elsewhere, and not just by the Bank of England, we also saw Canada. And we have seen some talk of rate cuts not being far away in the Antipodes. And there seems to be, I've even seen a little bit of talk about the possibility that India might cut rates somewhat. So a rate cutting environment would generally be supportive to equities. We've also seen a lot of money pumped into the system. Now, it needed to be to offset the write downs and outright losses. In other words, the money that had gone to, or the capital that had gone to money heaven as a result of all the subprime and related problems. So we did need a massive infusion of liquidity. And we have seen that, and we may well see some more. So it looks to me as if central banks are quite rightly now pretty well determined that whatever they do on rates, that they certainly will err on the side of providing sufficient liquidity to push the recession risk further off the stage. The Fed has some way to go in that department, as does the Bank of England. Now, overall, though, I think that we have an environment which is supportive for equities. We do not have government bond yields surging in here, although they are rising off the lower side of their ranges. We do not have the US dollar in free fall. We do not have the oil price spiking. And we do still have, lest anyone has forgotten this, a synchronized global economic expansion and a reasonable chance that that will help the US to just skirt by, in other words, avoid the technical definition of a recession, which would be two consecutive quarters of negative growth. So again, as they say, not a bad period overall for, or not a bad background, I should say, for global equities. And it is also, we also had the background of favorable seasonal factors. So really, this doesn't mean that markets are all going to race off into the wild blue yonder. There's enough certainty around that we could have some reassuring dullness. Now, people would soon tire of that, of course, and want to see more upward trending activity. But the markets that have held up best are a little bit overextended still relative to their 200-day moving averages. Meanwhile, the Western markets have stepped back from the brink and indicated that they're going to hold within their present trading bands and even have a look at the upper side of those trading bands. Now, remember the Wall Street leash effect? Well, Wall Street is rallying, and again, given the recent fright, don't expect the first day of a rally to spark other markets, particularly the emerging markets. But the longer Wall Street holds steady, the more likely it is that a number of the emerging markets will break out on the upside and run. And I expect to see that between now and the end of the first quarter of 2008. So again, I say it's a reasonably favorable environment overall. In also in line with my forecast that the cycle has been slowed and extended. Now, the slowed aspect of that cycle or change in the cycle will consign some markets to more boring ranging. The lengthening of the cycle should mean that overall we don't get many disasters, and they will be more than offset. They'll probably only be isolated incidents involving individual companies. And overall, don't be surprised if most stock market indices are higher 3 to 4 months from now, which is very much what I expect. Looking at the government bonds, I maintain that they've seen the best of what we're going to get in here in terms of their rallies, the rallies in government bond prices. So it's just a question of how quickly those yields move back up. Part of that will be determined by what happens with stock markets here. And that will be a very big influence overall. So, dull stock markets reflecting some earnings and growth concerns would tend to cushion bond prices on the downside, whereas dramatic gains in stock markets, I think, would be interpreted as an indication that the global GDP growth cycle was speeding up, and that would weigh on bonds because it would increase inflationary expectations. In terms of currencies, tomorrow I think will be an interesting day because we have this widely anticipated 25 basis point rate cut by the Fed. I continue to feel that's what they will get. The most positive thing the Fed could do would be to chop the discount rate by 50 basis points because they didn't cut the discount rate, I don't think they did, at least in October. And that would again help with the overall banking situation. So that would be a good outcome. Now, really, but people know that more rate cuts are in the pipeline, so that wouldn't be a shock surprise for equities. What I'm interested in is how the dollar responds tomorrow, because we have had the dollar break its short-term downtrend against most currencies. I did say where it had had a good run against the Canadian dollar, in particular, that it got harder from here. I was saying that last week, and maintain that view. And I really feel that rather than talk of a big dollar recovery, we're more likely to see a lot of ranging activity overall. But tomorrow will be interesting. If I've underestimated the dollar's upside potential, then we should see a situation where the rate cut's announced and then the dollar just starts to strengthen. In other words, it would be a case of sell the rumor, buy the news, which we sometimes see in markets. If the dollar is unable to rally tomorrow afternoon following a Fed rate cut, then I think the odds of it going back and testing its lows will have or more have risen considerably. And you will have noticed perhaps in some of the charts that we've put up or that you've seen just in your own searches that the dollar has given up quite a bit of its early rally gains against some of the Asian currencies. Now, needless to say, what the dollar does might well be a factor in terms of precious metal prices. With the current trading ranges that we see for precious metals, any twitch in the dollar up or down has twitch up and pushes precious metals down a bit, and twitch down pushes them up a little bit. Looking at the long-term charts, these precious metals are most obviously in long-term upward trends, but one can also make a case for saying that they had run ahead a little bit too quickly and are prone to longer consolidations than we have seen to date. In which case, well, I've said it before, we shouldn't be too surprised if we get a number of weeks, possibly even months, of ranging activity before these overall upward trends are extended. And grains and beans still very much in form, and I think are likely to remain so. I think it would take a sharp stock market sell-off, which I don't expect unless Bernanke says something stupid, as he did last October, and I don't expect that I don't expect that to happen. But I think it would really require another just general sell-off of assets and a flight to liquidity. In other words, deleveraging, another round of deleveraging to prevent those grains, those informed grains and beans, from moving higher. And I don't really I don't really expect that stock market sell-off, as you know, so I don't think that's a big risk overall. And that's pretty much it. So, roll on tomorrow, and that interest rate cut, I'm sure it will be interesting. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.